We're going to turn to 1 Chronicles and chapter 4, and verses 9 and 10 are the verses that we're looking at here this morning. Way back about 7 years ago, at least, I did a little Bible study series on the prayer of Jabez. And I'm going to try and condense everything into one short message here this morning. And the title for this morning is The Life That God Blesses. The Life That God Blesses. And so, if you want your life to be a blessing, and if you want your life to be blessed, then this is a good place to look. There are just two verses, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're reading verses 9 and the verse 10. I'm not going to ask you the question, but how many would have read through 1 and 2 Chronicles? It's not the most encouraging and inspiring in books, because all you'll find are name after name after name after name, and peoples and places and things like that. But when you get to these couple of verses, we get a little oasis that are rich and fertile in blessing. And they have much, these two verses, to say to us. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted that which he requested. Amen, and we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. It was around about the year 2000 that Bruce Wilkinson turned the obscure character of Jabez into an international phenomenon with his little book, The Prayer of Jabez. It became a bestseller, but also it became a franchise. At its height, you could buy the book of Jabez, The Prayer of Jabez for women, The Prayer of Jabez for teens, The Prayer of Jabez for kids, The Prayer of Jabez devotional, The Prayer of Jabez journal, and The Prayer of Jabez leather edition. Jabez music, Jabez t-shirts, Jabez hats, posters, coffee, music, calendars, and even Jabez mouse for your computer pad. It was turned into what you would call a kind of a cult. The prayer became a recipe, a model that folk used to try to achieve the same results that Jabez did in his prayer. It suddenly became all about Jabez and the prayer he used, and it lost the focus on the God who answers prayer. This text is about God, not Jabez. This text is about a God who hears and answers prayer when it's offered in the right heart, in the right attitude, with the right motive. This text is all about Jabez, God. It's about the sovereignty of God. It's about a holy, wise, faithful, gracious God who answered Jabez's prayer. And this message, and the message that God, about God in this text, proclaims good news for every believer, not just Jabez. The Lord is still on the throne, and the Lord still blesses his people. But before we go any further, before we look at the blessings of Jabez's life and what he received and what he received at the hand of God, let's affirm one thing: that our God is sovereign. He's sovereign in everything. He's sovereign in the blessings that he pours out upon us. He's sovereign in the gifts that he gives to us. There is nothing outside of his power and blessing, but every blessing comes from the hand of God. R.C. Sproul said that the sovereignty of God is God's favorite subject, his favorite doctrine. He goes on to say that if you were God, it would be your favorite doctrine too. It is the sovereign hand of God that brings the blessing, his blessing, to people. In other words, the blessings of God are the blessings of God, and we do well to remember that. That means that the prayer of Jabez must not, should not, and ought not become a recipe or a formula that we think we can use to get the same blessings. It was more about God and Jabez's walk than anything else. God is God, and we are not. So we must pray, we must trust, we must obey, we must wait, and we must thank God no matter what. Something else that we need to remember: if Jesus is your Savior and Lord, then you are blessed above all in heavenly blessings. What more blessings do we need than to know the blessing of God in Jesus Christ? However, and nevertheless, even though we occupy ourselves with the blessing of God, there are many people that don't have God's blessing, that don't know the full extent of those blessings. They're not walking in the blessings that God has for them. And I would trust and pray that as we look into this little prayer, as we look at some of the aspects of it, that we too will walk in the blessings that Jabez experienced for his life. There are a few. I'm only going to mention a couple of them today. God blesses the life that is marked by purity. It says that Jabez was more honorable. God blesses the life of purity. We are not told of what sense Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. But the meaning of the word and the context of the passage indicate that the honor of Jabez was spiritual, not physical, not material, not financial, and not political or social. It was spiritual. He was more honorable than his brethren, it says. Jabez was a godly man with strong moral character, convictions, and conduct. His motives were pure. His character was blameless, and his ways were upright. His lifestyle and the lifestyle of Jabez was a key of receiving blessing from God. God blesses those whose lives are marked by purity. That's the principle of Scripture, isn't it? Isn't that the principle that accompanied Moses, Elijah, David, Job? It says of Job, "Is there anybody more perfect than my servant Job?" And that's why he was blessed of God. Didn't mean to say he didn't go through tough times, but his life was blessed of God. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm number 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Many of you here today will remember Michael Ross Watson, won't you? Remember, we had him here for a time of teaching and ministry, and our souls were richly blessed. You remember, as part of his testimony, he tells a shocking story where he was out in a strange town, a strange city. He happened to be ministering in the area at the time, and he was approached by a prostitute for favors. Of course, he refused. He asked her to accompany him for a meal, and it turned out that he heard her story. She told him her story of how that she was trying to pay for her sisters, that they might be educated. You know the story, I'm sure, so well. There was another man who did something similar to this, only from a different direction. He was a preacher as well, and he was out for a meal, and he saw this fine-looking young woman, and she was seemingly well-dressed and seemed quite elegant and quite well-to-do. And he went over and he approached her. Now, I wouldn't do this because I wouldn't be long getting a bad name. But he said, "If I give you £25,000, would you spend tonight with me?" And she says, "Of course I would." And he says then, if I give you £50, would you spend the night with me? She says, what do you think I am? In disgust. Well, the man replied, we've already established what you are. We're simply discussing the price. Can I say, dear folks, what's your price? What does it take to get you to compromise your commitment with God? What is it that moves you to negotiate your devotion to Jesus Christ? I plead with you, as I plead with myself, take yourself off the market. Stop prostituting your faith in the Lord. Don't sell out. If you want to walk in the blessings of God, you must hang a sign around your heart that reads, not for sale. Here's what David said in Psalm 139, verses 23 to verse 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It says that Jabez was more honorable, not perfect. Not perfect. If being perfect was the prerequisite, the requirement of being blessed, none of us would ever qualify. Because no person has ever lived that perfect life except the Lord Jesus himself. But the good news is that God is looking for a life who is seeking to walk in the direction of love and grace and faithfulness. God will bless you if you're going in the right direction. Progressing in the ways of Christ and walking according to the lamp and light of his word. It's not wrong to pray about the temporal things so long as the right motive and the right reason is evident in your heart for why you're asking them. That's the principle of blessability. God typically blesses those whom he can trust with his blessings. D.L. Moody's life and ministry dramatically changed when he heard someone say, the world is yet to see what God can do through a man who is totally submitted and committed to him. Moody responded, by the grace of God, I will be that man. May I say to you, brothers and sisters, as I say to my own heart, God blesses the life of purity. Jabez wasn't willing to sell himself out for any old menial thing. He sought to live an honorable life, which meant a respectful life towards the holiness of God. He didn't put his life and his faith on the marketplace, and he didn't sell out to the highest bidder. His life was sold out to God. He was more honorable than his brethren. The second thing, very quickly, God not only blesses the life that is marked by purity, God also blesses the life that is marked by pain. Notice the name that Jabez's mother gave him. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bear him with pain. You know, one of the fascinating things about Jabez is his name. Why would you give your son the name pain? Cause of great pain. Well, someone said, by the way, you'll notice that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, that was part of the curse that a woman would bear children in pain because of the fall of man. There is something unusually painful about the birth of Jabez, and we really don't know what it is. And it was so painful that his mother gave him a name that reminded her of the pain that he caused her in coming into this world. But also it would remind him that he caused great pain when he came into the world. She suffered great pain. In naming him, Jabez's mother was making a statement about his birth and also reminding him that he was going to have pain. And his life was going to be marked by pain as he grew and as he went through life. And so it was going to be pain that would bring blessing to his life. As pain had been evident from the day he was born. Paul Brand worked with lepers, and as a consequence, he wrote a book entitled Pain, The Gift That Nobody Wants. Have you ever read it? Pain, The Gift That Nobody Wants. We view the Christian life as a life of ease and pleasure and nice things. We never think that the life of blessing could also be marred or could be accompanied by pain and suffering. Well, William Cowper wrote that hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." He wrote that hymn being suicidal himself, as a consequence of a relationship that broke up between him and his fiancée. And it was a crush of that broken relationship, the broken heart of that broken relationship, that caused him to write that great hymn. What about that other hymn, it is well with my soul? The writer whose three daughters had been drowned in a serious marine accident where his ship was sunk, and the only one that remained was his wife. And he wrote, "When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." How many times have we sang that hymn and rose to our feet as we sang it? How that we sing with great gusto and assurance, it is well with my soul. We love that hymn, don't we? How many times could we record and announce how the blessing that that hymn has been to our hearts? The story of Jabez teaches us that the Lord does not have to prevent, limit, or erase your pain in order to bless you. In fact, it may very well be the route through which blessing will come into your life. A.W. Tozer said, it is doubtful whether God can use a man greatly until he has first hurt him significantly. And I want to say to you, as I read the story of Paul, where he was afflicted by a thorn in the flesh, and I've come to believe, for me anyway, that that thorn in Paul's flesh was poor eyesight. If you'll notice that in the book of Galatians, where he wrote himself, he said that there was a time, he said, that you would have even offered me your very eyes. Now, why would they have offered him their eyes if it hadn't been that he had trouble with his eyes? And I believe that whenever Paul besought the Lord, "I besought the Lord three times," he said, but the answer he kept giving was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, then, he says, "Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Can I say to you that I believe with all of my heart the weaknesses that we have, the diseases that we face, the problems that we encounter, the difficulties that we have to overcome are often sent by God to keep us humble, to let us see how weak we are, to let us see how frail we are. And then, in consequence of the maladies that we face and the troubles that we, and the difficulties and the trials and all the disappointments we face, they then cast us upon God. "I am weak, but thou art strong." What's the rest of it? "Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Let him who standeth take heed lest he fall." I would say to you, dear brethren, brothers and sisters, that oftentimes the reason that we endure pain is because God is seeking to maintain our humility before him. "A broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise." Pain. Your pain is a setup for blessing. It's a setup for blessing. As long as life is manageable in our own strength, in our own wisdom, we think we can do without God. And how often we just want an easy, comfortable, trouble-free life. Well, God is saying to you and me today, if you want a trouble-free life, your life won't be greatly blessed. But if you're going through difficulties, and if you're going through pain, and you're going through disease, and you're facing situations that you cannot account for, nor can you find reason for, then, my dear friend, you are being set up for blessing. God is humbling us so that he can bring blessing into our lives. Candles must be burned in order to give light. Coal must be consumed in order to produce heat. Grapes must be crushed in order to produce wine. Wheat must be ground in order to produce flour. We must experience some pain in order to enjoy true blessings. I'm not a carpenter, but I want to try and use the analogy of a carpenter with a hammer and a nail to try and bring this picture over to you. Let's say that the hand that holds the hammer is God. Let's say that the hammer is the troubles and the trials that we experience. And let's just say that the nail is you and I. And God often takes that hammer and he hits the nail. And whatever nail he's hitting, he's trying to drive it deeper and deeper and deeper into the purpose for which he has it in his hand. And you and I just say that that nail had emotions and feelings. That nail saying to the hand and to the hammer, what are you pounding away at me for? Why am I experiencing all this difficulty? The problem is, and the situation is, that our God is sovereign. And as we reminded ourselves on Thursday at the business meeting, Jesus said, I will build my church. And what he said to the disciples as he washed their feet, he said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou wilt know hereafter. And he finishes with a tremendously crafted masterpiece of individuals who are in the purposes of God. Can I ask you, have there been times whenever you've been ready to throw in the towel? Maybe you're just hanging on by the skin of your teeth. Maybe you've felt one too many pounds of the hammer on your head. And you feel as if life is just against you in every quarter. It could just well be that God is preparing the greatest blessing for your life at this time. You think about that little analogy. Apply it to your own life. What have been the disappointments, the pain, a mother's pain, a father's pain, a youngster's pain, a relationship or an individual? Maybe it's been sickness or disease. What has been the blow that is driving you deeper and deeper and deeper into the purposes of God? What has been the situation that has made you aware that life isn't what everybody described as rosy in the garden, but for a God's child who he wants to bring blessing, the blows come regularly, purposefully, to drive us deeper into our walk with him. God blesses the life of pain. Don't think for one minute that if you want the blessing, and who is it here today that won't have prayed, Lord, bless me, haven't we? Isn't that the first prayer that my aunt taught me in a little prayer meeting? Lord, bless me and make me a blessing. Little did I know that it'd be from one crisis to another, one disappointment to another, one difficulty to another. Little did I know that that was the hand of God harrowing me deeper and deeper. And God's not an unloving God. He has a higher purpose than our comfort and ease here on earth. Is it not God that's molding our character, taking off the rough edges, causing us to be usable in his hands? Maybe you've missed and failed an exam. Maybe you've failed in some promotion. Maybe you have a failed relationship. Well, perhaps God has allowed it. I'm not going to say that God breaks up homes. But sometimes he allows things just so as he can fashion us and mold us, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It is my experience, brothers and sisters, that God often uses pain, often uses trials, often uses disappointments to bring us to the place of real blessing. And I know in this congregation and the people that I mix and mingle, and I've visited people this past week and I visited people last week, and they've got serious health issues. And I'm sure, like me, you would ask, Lord, why? Why? I often find myself not at a loss for words, because I know that in my own life, God has often used disappointments to get me to the place where I am to be blessed, because God's blessings don't necessarily always feel good at the time. I often feel at a loss at how to convey what it means to let God, to let go and let God, to look at Him, to look to Him as you face that difficulty, because God has greater and better things for you. You're being set up for blessing. God blesses those lives that are marked by pain. Have you felt pain in recent days? Pain of a broken friendship? The pain of a broken relationship? I'm not going to catalogue all the pains. I'm sure you've got your own pain. Could you not take a wee word from God this morning? He's setting you up for blessing. He's causing you to look to Him. He's causing you to utter a prayer that we're going to look at just now. Lord, that Your hand would be on me. That You would enlarge my costs. Lord, I've been born in pain. I've suffered pain. I've endured pain. But Lord, I'm ready for the blessing now. Notice the third and last thing. God blesses the life that is marked by prayer. Marked by prayer. Verse 9 spells out Jabez's reality. It's where he was at. And verse 10, well, it spells out Jabez's response. What does verse 10 say? Verse 10 says this, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. After all the pain that we've explained to us, he calls on the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me or cause me pain. And God granted that which he requested. Isn't that wonderful? God granted that which he requested. One of the reasons why Jabez has become so wildly popular with men, especially over in the States where they made it into a cult, one of the reasons that it's become so popular is we can all identify with Jabez, can't we? Can't we? I would nearly ask you, those of you who have never had trouble in your life, please stand up. Those of you who have never shed a tear for whatever reason, stand up. We've all endured and encountered pain. The text does not praise Jabez for being wise, strong, or rich. It does not celebrate him for being gifted, talented, or accomplished. It simply states that he was more honorable and he prayed. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the hand of omnipotence. Look at the things that Jabez counted as blessings. They might surprise you. The provisions of God are a blessing. Well, we'll all agree with that, won't we? His first request made to the Lord, oh, that thou wouldest bless me and enlarge my border and enlarge my coasts. Jabez asked that the favor of God would be on him personally and on his circumstances provisionally. It is possible that some perhaps think it is carnal to pray about temporal things. But I put it to you that whenever Jesus taught us to pray, say, when he taught the prayer, he said, what people count as the Lord's Prayer, but we would say the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. I like the way he tempered it by the implication of our daily needs. Staple diets, not greeds, but needs. But then, think about it this way. When we're selling our houses or selling our car, do we not want the very best price that we can get for them? When we're thinking of studying and exams and the line of direction for our studying? Are we not thinking of getting better jobs and a better lifestyle? It's not wrong to pray about provisions. But what do you want those provisions for? What are you looking for the riches for? I like what Wesley used to say. Wesley said, work as hard as you can, save as much as you can, to give away as much as you can. That's the motive. That ought to be the desire. Not for my glory or for my comfort, but it ought to be that we might be of greater benefit in the kingdom of God, whatever temporal way that might be. John Newton wrote, thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I put it to you, it is not wrong to pray about the physical provisions of our lives. Seek first is the temper, tempers it and brings a balance. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But notice the second thing that he termed as the blessing of God, and it's very important and surprising, and that is the presence of God is a blessing. Look at verse 10 again. It says, that thy hand may be upon me. Now, I've gone over this a few times before. You see, God's hand, well, God doesn't literally have a hand, don't you know that? God is not a man. He says, the word of God says in John 4 that God is a spirit. So he doesn't have a physical being. He's a spiritual being. But when it talks about God's hand, God's eye, God's ear, God's mouth, when it talks about those things, it's using a big term, and I would nearly ask some of you if you remember what I said before. What is it called? Anthropomorphism. Will we try and say that after too? Would anybody like to spell it? It's called after two, one, two. Anthropomorphism. What is anthropomorphism? It describes divine realities in physical terms to help human beings understand certain aspects of his character. So when it talks about God's hand, it's not talking about a physical hand. But nevertheless, he wants the hand of God on him. He wants God's power. He wants God's grace. He wants God's guiding hand to be upon him to save him from what? Save him from himself. To save him from himself. Lord, if you give me everything, I don't want anything, he's saying, to come between you and me. I want you to save me from the enemy, not from without. I want you to save me from the enemy that's within. The enemy that's within. He's praying that the power of God's hand would be on him. That is why he was called more honorable than the rest of his brethren. Jabez was wise enough to know that he needed both God's provisions and God's presence if he was to be the one who would be blessed above his brethren. A case in point is the prodigal son. He asked for his father's goods, and he lived like a reprobate away from the father's house, like a playboy, because he hadn't the father's hand on him. Jabez doesn't want the prodigal experience. No, Jabez wants God. Jabez is asking that the Lord not allow him to have a prodigal son experience. He is praying, Lord, whatever you do for me, whatever you give me, whatever you bless me with, I want it to be in the context that you are with me in it. Lord, I don't want what you do for me or what you give me to come between you and me. Brothers and sisters, you and I ought to pray the same. You don't just need what's in God's hands. You need God's hand upon you. Psalm 119 and verse 73 says, Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Time is filled with swift transition. None of earth's unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And the last thought regarding the prayer that's marked by, or the life that's blessed by prayer, is the provision of God is a blessing. The protection of God is a blessing. Notice verse 10 again, it says, that thy hand wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted that which he requested. Jabez knew something that you and I need to learn, that sin will rob you of your blessings. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. So pray that God will protect you from you. I read this illustration. I actually debated whether I'd read it out or not, but I think I will. I don't want anyone to take insult, but it's a true story. And here's how it goes. Duke Reynold III lived during the 14th century. He lived a life of indulgence and was extremely overweight. In fact, he was commonly called by his Latin nickname, Crassus, which means fat. After a violent quarrel, Reynold's younger brother Edward led a successful revolt against him. Edward captured him, but did not kill him. Instead, he built a room around his fat brother in Newkirk Castle and promised he could regain his freedom as soon as he was able to leave the room. Problem was, the doors were just slightly smaller than ordinary doors. And what he did with his brother is he kept sending him all the lovely foods of the day. The poor man stayed in that little prison for 10 years. He grew larger than he was when he first was built around him, even though he knew that he could be released as soon as he lost sufficient weight. There are many of us who are locked up in rooms with open doors. And the reason why many of us are unable to break free from the things that bind us really has nothing to do with our enemies. It's what's going on within us. Because of our rebellious attitudes, sinful ways, even lack of discipline, unrestrained appetites. Do you want to be delivered? Then join Jabez and ask God to protect you from yourself. The last line of verse 10 says, and God granted that which he requested. It simply tells us God answers prayer when it's asked in the right attitude, with the right motive, for the right reason. Jabez is held up now as a man who was more honorable than his brethren, telling us of a life that lived solely for God. Here's what Jeremiah said, call to me and I will answer you and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And Hebrews chapter 4 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything in his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Brothers and sisters, God blesses the life that endures, that experiences purity. God blesses the life that endures pain. God blesses the life that engages in prayer. Do you and I really want to be blessed? Let the words of this little song ring in your heart. You'll know it when we get to the chorus. I'm not singing it, I'm reading it. In the world from which you withhold, of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He will go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You have a little look at the life of Jabez. There's only two little verses, but it's a powerful, powerful story of a man who only wanted the blessing of God, who only called for God's hand to be on him, to save him from himself. And God did the rest. Let's bow together in prayer before we sing our closing song. Lord, we thank you for these little oases in the desert, these little nuggets in your word, these little accounts, Lord, that we could easily miss. Yet, Lord, how powerful and potent they are as they address and they encounter us in our walk with God. Thank you, Lord, for this little prayer. We're not going to use it as a model or as a recipe or a formula. Lord, help us to look deeper and think deeper of what you're saying to us. How that you would bless the life of purity. How, Lord, that we, as we walk day by day, as we keep short accounts with you, trusting in the finished work, trusting in the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. Lord, as we would sing in a moment, wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. Lord, we pray that we may know the daily cleansing of the blood of the Lamb from the things that pollute our soul, that would keep God locked out of our lives and cause us to be barren and lifeless in the spiritual realm. Dear God, we pray that we might be those who are blessed because thou seest the very needs of our hearts. Lord, we ask those who are suffering pain for whatever reason that they will see that God is molding them, fashioning them to be what you want them to be. Lord, you bless those whose lives are engaged in prayer. May we be a people who bring everything to God in prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing probably one of my favorite songs, 639. Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. We'll get you to stand and sing. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. Verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of 639. And we'll stand.
Oh,
let's just bow together in prayer. Lord, thank you for challenging us, Lord, through your word, challenging us, Lord, for the motives that we seek you in prayer, for challenging us on our walk with God, for challenging us in our motivations. And so we pray that we may be those who have sought the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, as we've sought at the foot of the old rugged cross forgiveness for those things that have been selfish and self-centered. And cause us, Lord, to be those who will live for the glory of God and the glory of God alone. Part us in thy fear with thy blessing. Bring us to our homes in safety. For we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake alone. Amen.